Father God, I pray that through the words we've just heard in the Bible and the words that I speak, we may open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to know you better. Amen. Please sit. So we continue our new sermon series after Andy's introduction last week. We'll go forward and see if it makes it less echoey. I think that's a bit better. We continue our new sermon series after Andy's introduction last week with the parable of the sower. Why does Jesus tell this story? I'd say because he wants those who have ears to hear him. Remember Andy told us last week about Margaret Beckett, who said we need to listen, to hear, and to heed. Jesus often prefaced his remarks with the phrase, "I'm telling you the truth." In a world of mirage and misunderstanding and downright lies, Jesus, also known as the Word, was everything God had to say about himself and his kingdom. Jesus needed them, and he needs us, to listen to him, to hear him, and to heed him. Often the only source of truth. Jesus often told people to repent, which means to change your mind about what is important, and to notice that his kingdom had drawn near. His love, guidance, and rule was available to all, and was beginning to renew and redeem all creation. So they needed to hear his words and to heed them, to take them on board, to open their eyes to a new reality, and then to act in tandem with that new reality. This is manifestly different to how people act in the world when they are not in relationship with him and are following the Frank Sinatra thing of doing it my way. Jesus' way is inclusive, it's loving, it's truthful, it's forgiving, it's generous, it's hopeful and powerful, it's unifying, and it will prevail. Jesus said that the purpose of his death was to judge the world's systems, to overthrow harmful powers and principalities, and to draw all people to him. His purpose was to begin this mission and to bring it to completion. The parable of the sower explains how different people react differently to the kingdom message that he brings. Remember, while you are listening, what Andy said about Jesus' invitation to re-examine what we have always known and what we hold dear. To think again about how the world works and who we are within it. I'm going to read the parable again to you, this time from Luke. And while I'm reading it, ask yourself which type of soil is most like you in the story. And which types of people do you think of as represented by the other groups of soil? Which groups of people? A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Jesus explained it for the thickies. And by the way, compared to the cleverest being in the universe, we are all thickies. The seed is the word of God, he said. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So, which one are you? Are you the path where the seed fell but didn't germinate? Did it fail to take hold as the devil stopped you even being open to an idea of Jesus' good news? Are you the rocky ground where seed takes hold but withers and dies? You believe for a while, but you're so shallow that your faith in Jesus' good news doesn't last past the initial in love stage. Are you the ground full of thorns, where worries, riches, and pleasures consume all the nutrients in the soil and leave nothing left to nurture and grow Jesus' good news, which is therefore choked out of your life? Or are you the good soil, where the seed of Jesus' good news takes hold and continues to grow and grow and bear fruit that others will taste and enjoy? Which did you choose? Which was most like you? And who in your life or our world was represented by the other ground? I think it's easy to sit with this parable and feel smug. I think that's what Jesus meant about people not having ears to hear and having a heart of stone that will not open to what Jesus' good news really is. With regards to this parable, what do you think about Jesus' disciples? The ones who hung about with him the most and had half a chance of allowing themselves to be absorbed into his reality. Do you think they were good soil? Was Judas, who betrayed him, good soil? Was Peter, who denied him, good soil? What about James and John, the sons of thunder, who let their sibling rivalry get in the way? How disheartening if the ones who were most likely to be the good soil turned out to be rubbish. But we are better than them, aren't we? We just have to keep persevering and we will be that good soil and can lord it over the other people with all their failings and distractions and sin. I've heard a number of sermons which use this parable to drive evangelistic missions. We are the good soil and the people out there, wherever there is, have got the lack of depth, the distractions or the wrong ideas. And we need to put them straight. We divide the world into good, wise people like us and bad, foolish people like the others. I think those messages are barking up the wrong tree. It's tempting to imagine we are the good soil, but in reality, I believe we are all a combination of all of the soils at different times in our lives. So if we go out to our neighbours to tend their soil, Jesus' words about the log and the speck spring to mind. Jesus is the one who makes the seed grow and the kingdom come. I've also heard sermons which admonish listeners to try harder to be good soil. Laying on the condemnation, Jesus died to pay for your sins, so be his perfect example of the good news. I don't think that message is right either. As we come to dig into the parables of Jesus, we need to understand that Jesus was nearly always talking about his kingdom. The good news of this kingdom is that Jesus can be trusted. He can be trusted as having overcome death on our behalf. He can be trusted as being the perfect manifestation of love and utterly on our side and everyone else's. And he can be trusted as the only one who knows how to live life in communion with the triune God and have the most fulfillment, serenity and joy as a human being. He is the only one who can teach us and lead us into experiencing that life. So when Jesus talks about what life in his kingdom is like, in places like his Sermon on the Mount, he's giving us a vision of the best life possible with him now and a hope for the future. By buying into that vision, even fleetingly, we will get glimpses of the supernatural wonder that lies ahead when the whole world and the whole of humanity is made over. Some of us have had mystical experiences where we have had these glimpses. But while Jesus talks about us persevering to be good soil, I'm convinced that he's not talking about striving, and we don't have to do it alone. Now, don't get me wrong, I do think we have to persevere in learning and opening our hearts to truth and love. His words from the passage mention hearts, and they also mention keeping on. I think we do need to be still, or chat with God, or read our Bibles through the lens of Jesus' love, or a combination of these things according to what suits our circumstances and personality. All these things help us absorb the promise and reality of his kingdom. But Jesus told us elsewhere that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Our efforts should not feel overwhelming. He reminds us that he abides in his Father and he abides in us as we abide in them. And he tells us that we bear fruit by abiding, not striving. I can clench my fist and screw my face up as much as I like, and a strawberry won't emerge from my pores. Striving won't produce fruit. But if I abide in Jesus' love and top myself up to bursting with it, some of it is sure to flow out. It's this that yields all the fruit in Jesus' kingdom. Absorbing love like a sponge and then releasing it all over our unsuspecting loved ones, neighbours and enemies. So if our church texts and rector's reads and Sunday sermons dare to suggest any more us and them or striving, may I urge you to repent and believe the good news of the kingdom of God's love. Listen to Jesus, hear him afresh, and heed his hopeful message. Amen.